there we go. All right, we'll get it. We'll just pull it up here. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here we go. Verse 1. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Verse 5. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations, unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Verse 8. So I say to those who aren't married to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if you can't control them yourself, you should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than burn with lust. We'll just stop there. And then it will go into a little bit different direction. This is the sermon I've been trying to get to the last couple weeks. And we thank God that it comes out today. So Paul is rewriting. So even though it says 1 Corinthians, and sometimes we don't know how many letters are written to a church because some are saved and some are not. But this was Paul's responding to a letter that was sent to him by this church. And remember, this church is just like a lot of churches today, full of sexual morality. Remember back in a couple chapters where this guy was sleeping with his stepmother? See, the same church. So the thing about it, they were in a city that was full of sexual innuendos, perversion, sexual immorality, all that. That was the culture that was this church was birthed in. And so if you know anybody that recently gets saved, they're not really, they don't walk like a saint, they don't talk like a saint, they don't act like a saint, right? They still act, there's a process of getting closer to God, and he slowly changes them, right? And as he slowly changes them, they get changed, and their old ways are done away with, and now they got new ways to go. And so as Paul's writing this, he's saying, all right, guys, let's get off of the melt that we've been on, and here's some good nuggets or some good chunks of beef for you to chew on. And so he starts off by answering their question, and we don't know what the question is, but we know it's dealing with sexual immorality or sex in the marriage or along those lines. He said, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about this in church. Yes, I should be. Because if we don't talk about it in church, the world will give you a false expectation of what it is according to their standards. God has a standard, and we need to hold God's standard. And so just because you messed up sexually or any other way, God still can rearrange that, bring healing, and set you free and walk in wholeness and forgiveness. This is not to condemn you if you did it not according to God's plan. This is to get you back on right track on God's plan, on his ship, on his way. So Paul is going to answer a question, and a lot of times people ask us questions, but we're afraid to answer them because what if they don't like the answer? Anybody ever ask you this? Does this outfit make me look fat? Do you like my new haircut? Do you like my new hat? I'm not the most observant person in the world. And then people will say, did you see that she got new glasses? No, I didn't. So if you got new glasses in the last 10 years, wow, they look amazing on you. If you got your hair done in the last 10 years, wow, it looks great. If you gained weight, I haven't noticed. So you're good. If you lost weight, wow, that's amazing. You look great. So Paul is responding to their question. And he goes, yes, it's good to abstain from sexual relationships. But the thing about it, why is he putting that right there? I just leave it. Because they're probably asking this question. I can't guarantee it. But is it okay to have sexual relationships outside of marriage? No. You're supposed to abstain from sexual relationships outside of marriage. Because several different things. That person doesn't belong to you until you say, I do. They belong to you after that. They don't belong to you before that. Well, we're engaged. So, they still don't belong to you. All right? Once they belong to you, have as much fun in the bedroom as you can. All right? And that's a good thing. Marriage inside of sex inside of marriage is a wonderful, great thing. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying anything outside of that. And marriage is between a man and a woman. We're not doing it according to what our president says or the Congress says, because they don't have authority over what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that He created a man and woman. And when He created a woman, the man goes, whoa, man. And so, ladies, make your guy go, whoa, man. That's a good thing. And so he goes, yes, it is a good thing to abstain from sexual relationships. But because there's so much sexual morality, each man should have his own wife. Paul's saying, each woman should have her own man. In other words, one man, one woman, monogamous relationship. Well, we've been living together since we were 18. Well, get married in sight of God and call a happy marriage after. A piece of paper does not make somebody married. I see a lot of marriages where people, they get married, but they're not married because they're not becoming one. They decided to be two. And when somebody becomes one, what happens? There's friction, right? And sometimes there's sparks. And sometimes you don't always get along together. Imagine that. But with this, God said, I'm making them become one. You ever notice that Jeannie and Gary act so much like each other now? I guarantee you, Jeannie can finish Gary's thoughts. Not his words, but his thoughts. Just like you, Mary, you almost guarantee you that you walk up, you almost guarantee what Ron's going to be doing all, because you guys are becoming one. And guess what? It takes from wherever you become one at the beginning all the way until death do us part. And if you've had divorce, I'm not saying that's a shame on you at all. What this is saying is that when you decide to get married, become one. And let it be joined together as God designed it. Because now there's relationships where they're saying, oh, we're going to have an open relationship. If you have an open relationship, close that puppy. Because you're opening it to a lot of grief and heartache. And that's the reason why Paul's saying, one spouse per person, I don't know about you, one spouse is plenty for me. What about you, Gary? One's enough?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad there's only one Gary, Jeannie?
Yeah.
I know you have a couple. Well, your kids aren't so little anymore, but you already have two offspring that act like him already.
Yeah.
But it says here, it goes, should have your own. And then it goes, a husband should fulfill his wife, and a wife should fulfill her husband. That's a healthy thing. Go fulfill one another. It's not a bad thing. And then it says, your body, when I get married, or those who are not married yet, when you get married, your body's no longer belonging to you. See, so many times people say, well, I'm married, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you don't. That's singleness. When I was single, oh man, I'd eat as much ice cream as I could. Now I'm trying to watch my weight and trying to watch it, but it's not my body anymore. Now I'm becoming one. Now if I want to go get a tattoo, I just won't go to the store and get a tattoo, or a tattoo parlor, whatever they're called. I'd be talking to my wife because it's not my body any longer. It's ours. If my wife wanted to go get a forehead piercing, we'd talk about that. It should be kind of weird, a unicorn thing. Boom. But the thing about it, because it's not her body. And the thing about it, we're like, well, that was in that culture. Did you know how many churches deal with the same issues that the First Corinthian church, with sexual immorality running rampant going on, where they're promoting people who are in relationships with other same-sex people to preach the gospel? No, it shouldn't be happening. That's not a church, that's a religious gathering, but it's not the church of God. And it goes, the husband gives authority over his body to his wife and his wife. And then it goes, verse 5, it goes, do not deprive each other from sexual relationships unless you both agree for prayer. And then it says, come back quickly. Because sexual temptation will take you out quicker than any other temptation. Jesus even says, if you look at somebody lustfully, you're committing adultery. And that could be your own spouse, because now you got lust in your heart. And lust is not just sexual. It's lust for power, lust for greed, lust for this, lust for that. Lust can come in many different ways. But here we're talking about sexual intimacy and stuff like that. So when you have that lust, it builds. And then it overcomes you, and then you're willing to do anything. Charles Manson, many of you know who that is from back in the, I think, 1970s. Did you know it started off with pornography? He started looking at pornography when he was young. And because that didn't fulfill him, because it was outside the boundaries of a biblical marriage, that he went on to start raping people, and then beyond that. See, it says in Song of Solomon, even the little foxes rob the den. See, it's those little things. Well, you know, anybody says, I've been on a diet and I started cheating. Come on, I think we all have. You know, this little brownie won't make that big. It's the holidays. It's not between Thanksgiving and Christmas that messes you up. It's the Christmas through Thanksgiving that messes you up. And so the thing about it, we'll say, you know, that one lick of lollipop isn't that bad. I just want one lick, kid. Give me that sucker now. See, it's those little steps in the wrong direction. Next thing you know, you're in a place that you cannot... You've gone too far. And when I was a youth pastor and a children's pastor and other type of pastors, I've actually had teenagers ask me, how far is too far before you get married? If you're asking that question, you're asking the wrong question, because you've already gone too far. See, to me, that you only have one hand. You have first of everything, your first hug. Once you give away your first hug, you can never give it back. Your first handhold. Oh, he melts me.
You can only do it once. Give it away. Your first kiss. Oh. You only have one first kiss. And once you get that way, you don't get another first kiss. And I'll stop there. Ferrari goes, yay! My dad's saving my embarrassment. But it says, come back quickly or because of lack of self-control. You know, because of lack of self-control, people got themselves in trouble. There's been babies born out of lack of control. But that's not bad. I mean, there's nothing bad with babies. And so but then Paul continues to write. He goes, come back together again so Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say, now this is, verse 6 goes with 7. Verse 6 goes, I say this as a concession, not as a command. In other words, Paul's saying, if I was you and I was me, this is what I'd do. This is not a command from God. This is just my own thinking. This is my own reasoning. Okay? This is Paul saying this. And so sometimes we got a partial of what is a command from God and what is a suggestion from a human being. And Paul's saying, this is my suggestion compared to, because some of you, like Bev, has been widowed and she might want to get remarried. What do you think, Bev? You want to get married again? Once is enough? I agree. And so it says here, it goes, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Did you know single people do things differently than married people? Imagine that. And so if I was single, I'd probably be doing things different. I'd have more ice cream. I wouldn't be as healthy as I am. I definitely would have more pizza. My diet would not be as healthy. But as a single person, you do things. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. And so in other words, Paul's saying, I got this gift of singleness. Some of you don't, and that's okay. We can take the gift set to different. Some of you have gifts of this over here, and some of you have a gift over here. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about gift of being single. I thank God I don't have that gift. And so verse 8, he goes, so I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. This is his opinion, okay? This is not saying, well, I guess I'm a widow, it says in the Bible, I just gotta be a widow the rest of my life. No, if God's giving you desire to be married again, get married again. When we're out in Phoenix, this older couple comes in, they were friends. Both of their spouses were passed away, and they became friends, and they're probably in their 60s, 70s, or something like that. They come into the office of the church. And they were going on a vacation together. And so they didn't want to live in sin. And so they came in, they found the pastor, and they go, will you marry us? And so I was pulled into a wedding. I had no clue who these older people were. You were there, weren't you? Yes. That's what I thought. And so we were there, and the pastor, one of the pastors goes, all right, we're going to do this wedding ceremony. Because they go, well, we gotta get going. We gotta get done by 11 because we wanna leave by 11. I mean, when you're older, you know what you want. And so, 10 minutes later, they're walking out married. And they're like, I have no clue who they were. I've never seen them ever since then. But they're going on vacation now because, you know, somebody says a little bit later here, Paul goes, get married because don't burn with lust. You know, people say, well, they're so young, get married. Get married If you can't resist temptation, just embrace your, get married, embrace your spouse, and have as many kids as you can. Get that quiver full. And so here he is. He goes, I wish some of you could say, but it's better to stay married. Just I am, but, verse 9, if they cannot control themselves like older people, then they should go ahead and get ahead and marry. It is better to marry than burn with lust. How awesome is that? Get married. Enjoy each other's bodies. Enjoy each other's company. Enjoy it, because that's what it's about. And then, well, I think that's where we'll stop at, verse 9. So, you have a week to practice. Either staying single or staying married. Remember, intimate relationship is a natural part of marriage. Hugging, holding hands, snuggling, harassing one another. When the person's kind of annoyed with you, you annoy them a little bit more. That's all part of marriage. Oh yeah. And having, being intimate with the other person is part of marriage. It's in the Bible. It's something that we shouldn't be afraid of talking about in the church. I mean, you don't have to go into details about your own personal, intimate stuff. We don't need to hear that. But there's people, if you're struggling with stuff, it's like, I don't get it. Well, let's get help. Let's talk about it. Let's be, because intimacy in marriage is a healthy thing. Producing kids, a healthy marriage produces kids. Being intimate, I mean, God created us to reproduce. And so, that's all I want to say on that topic for this week. Next week I'm going to preach on something else, but the following week we'll preach on something else. Well, we'll get back in 1 Corinthians, God allows it. And so, we will get, see, the thing about it, all this stuff he has to work through to get to the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes you got to work through garbage to get everything God has for you. You got to work through all the hurts and pains and disappointments and all that to get what God has for you. See, gold isn't just laying on top of the ground. Even though I found a 1941 dime in my garden when I was harvesting my onions in my garden this week, just yesterday. Just there laying, I'm like, whose piggy bank did you check, God? There's a dime.
Toward your transmission.
Yes. You never know. But to be honest with you, this is totally off subject, but going with what Jeannie said, that when we bought our house out in Phoenix, I was kind of leery. It's like, how are we going to pay for it? And all of a sudden, the guy goes, do you trust me? I go, yeah. I look down. Granted, it was only a penny. And he goes, I will provide for you. And so when I saw that dime in the ground, I mean, just, I don't know how many times I tilled this ground. Probably at least 10 times. Even this year, I weeded this garden at least 3 times this spring, this summer. Never seen it there. But when we had an issue with finances with our car, all of a sudden, there's a dime from 1941. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. It's only worth $4.01. But I thank God for reminding me that he's going to provide for me. He will remind you how faithful he is. All right. I'll be done now. So we're going to sing our last song. Then we're going to get going, believing for great and mighty things. Father, we thank you for this message that you want us to enjoy, either single or married. If we're single, enjoy all the gift of being single. enjoying friendships, enjoying life with other people. But Lord, if we're married, let us enjoy life with other people as well, but especially with our spouse. Lord, let us become one. Let us become who you called us to become. Lord, one with you, one with each other.